have to have these seeing aids. I'll look into some of the scripture tonight by the help of the Lord. Appreciate if you'd pray for the word tonight. We need the Lord very much. I'm grateful that He does want to help us. I'm grateful that He is not one who is interested in us making a failure in life. He's interested in us having the victory in life. It's spoken in the Word that He's not willing that any should perish.
That's right.
But that all, and I believe that completely, that when He said He wanted all to be able to come to repentance, I believe He meant all. I don't think there's just a select few. I think He meant His arm is reached out to whosoever will, let him come. And I'm so grateful that we have that kind of a God that we're serving here tonight. I would like to make a few quick points. Maybe I'll attempt writing on the board. Oh, right here. Is that right? I tried to say the devil's wiles. I suppose we ought to absolutely acknowledge right up front the devil's after our souls. And we ought to act like that as we walk through life. We ought to act as though we're in a... I don't think we should live in a world of dread, but we should act with a sufficient caution that we're on watch for the landmines. We're on guard. The reason why I say that, I'm going to read you a scripture or two. Ephesians, the 6th chapter. And if you'll let me, I'm going to read some of this off my phone. It's easier for me. Ephesians, the 6th chapter and the 11th verse. It says, put on the whole armor. And there's a whole message in this 6th chapter. This is not going to be the whole armor of God. It's really not our focus tonight. But use it all. Use the whole armor. All the defensive and offensive weapons that the Lord has given us. Use it. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand. And I'm interested in being able to stand. I'm interested in being able to be victorious. And don't let anybody tell you you can't. Don't let a preacher tell you. Don't let the devil tell you. Don't let your friends tell you. Because I want to tell you, if anybody wants to, will come to you with a message saying you're just going to be a failure, just understand where that's coming from. That's the devil saying that, because it's not God's will. It's His desire that we would have peace in our soul and victory. And we not be under the thumb of an evil tyrant that's wanting to abuse our souls, abuse our lives. I want to tell you tonight, I believe with all my heart, young folks, give the Lord your heart as young as you can. Because the way the Lord wants to develop your life, the plans that He has for you is plans of peace and not of hard, evil things. But to give us a complete, hopeful end, an expected end. So walking with the Lord, I just recommend it to everyone. Try it for at least the next 3 years. And after that, I think you're going to be hooked anyway. So I never like saying, giving a time frame, but I say you really do it with all your heart for a while, and you're going to find out, oh, this is it. This is it. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles. You know what that means? Put that up on the board. Y'all have definition for wiles. What do you think that is? Are they just
tricks?
I think that's one of them. There's a lot of things we could say, but that encapsulates the idea. The devil has tricks up his sleeve. Lots of them. There's an S on the end of that word up here. Wiles. I believe tonight that if the devil came and he had a red cape, some black horns, and a black pitchfork, I think we'd all know who he was. I've never seen him do it. Have you? Almost always he tries to clothe himself behind some sort of camouflage.
That's true.
Sometimes he might even clothe himself as an angel of light. You know why? Because he wants to steal, kill, and destroy. If he came and told us exactly who he was, hello, my name is Satan, and I'm here to wreck your life. We would all be on guard, but he doesn't do that. He comes with planting a question mark, a deceitful something to our mind. Yeah, this, go ahead and eat of it. In fact, the fruit that you're looking at right now, that I've drawn your attention to. Who's seen a talking tree? Who's seen this serpent speaking? And folks, don't get that close to the tree. Okay, that's one of the wiles also the devil would like to employ to get us too close. Don't do it. It's not complicated. You know, we can try to make this walk really complicated. There's a lot of moving parts. I understand. But down in the basis, it's really simple. Don't go there. Pass not by it. Get away from it. Run, flee. Some things are definitely worth fleeing. Full of poison, deadly things that would not only mar the moment now, but has a ripple effect throughout my life. I'll leave you bad memories. Things that's hard sometimes to get over. So, the wiles of the devil. You may stand against the wiles of the devil. The times when he says, if you'll just eat this and taste it, it's very sweet. And it seemed to be, at the moment, very sweet. Very attractive. Very a fruit to make one wise. I'm going to be, if I can just iterate, I have learned so much and I'm almost as smart, as wise as God. The devil's been lying a long time. But on a very, so many different levels that the devil will come in his sly way, in his camouflage way, and the tricks that he has to use to employ in our hearts. He will never come out front. He'll come with his camouflage and say, you know, if you just really, that what the saints have taught for so long really doesn't have that much value anymore. You know, it's another day. This is 2020, almost 2026. Get up with the times. Really, you know, what you've been teaching started in 18. I want to tell you what we should teach start clear back at the cross. And it's been good for souls every generation since.
Amen.
And it's right and it's comfortable and it speaks of godliness and holiness and righteousness and stands up rightly in my soul. Where I can look at him and say, Abba, Father. Because he's my Lord and Savior. He's my Father. And the devil would like to sever that closeness. The devil would like to drive a wedge, would like to do something in his wily ways. I am not going to be able to cover every incident or every wile that the devil uses here tonight. But you're going to find him. Because he's sneaking around the corners. And he's there trying to somehow get us to step. Most of the time he doesn't say, let's just jump over here into sin right now. But you know what he'll do? He'll aim us that direction if we let him. And we start one little incremental step after another. And after a while, we find it comfortable standing beside the tree and talking to the wrong influence. Until we say, what's wrong with it? Because you see, all the cautions now have been overridden. My conscience now has become seared, or has been quieted at least. And I now really can't see very clearly. Why? Because the devil has led me very sweetly by the hand and got me over into the danger zone. Because he's interested in leading us into the death zone. Where I no longer really see clearly. Before he does that, and we're going to get over in, Lord willing, over into the Judges, the 16th chapter. There's an astounding story over there. But the devil would like to put out our eyes. Our ability to see clearly. The devil will like to cause so much confusion to come through our mind. An inability to see clear enough to recognize the danger. And perhaps will even whisper to us that you've been walking this way so long now that you're strong enough that you can handle it. You know what he's trying to do? Trying to put out your eyes. And then lead us over into the death zone. Wiles. The devil's wiles. Want to stand against it. Want to recognize it. Lord, help my conscience not to become seared. Help me to see clearly. Help me to recognize when this what sounds almost like my reasonable mind, and the devil is there, and it almost sounds like it's right, but somewhere it doesn't feel right, because when I bow down and pray to you, there seems to be a coldness. And I can almost hear your echoed voice from a distance saying, Adam, where art thou? And I'm hiding because there's something. The wiles, you see, have taken hold. There's incremental change can happen. And I want to encourage us tonight. It doesn't mean always that we're not in the unrecoverable zone. And I want to encourage us as we're going through this pursuit of life, this desire to serve the Lord with all of our heart. I want to encourage you to recognize if there's something going on that somewhere is leading us incrementally away, cut it off. It's a wile. It's a trick. Because the devil has designs to put out our eyes, to get us separated from the very source of life. That the communion that we've had before with the Lord will be cut off, and the sweetness and the peace will leave. And then we're left to try to replace it, because she's gone. We're left to try to replace it with some other avenue. And so we'll use a lot of distractions to try. Folks, I want to tell you, when we know the Lord and walk with Him and talk with Him, there's a peace. And we don't need more. And I would say it like this. There's such a satisfying for my soul. What's that song, When My Savior Talks With Me? All the burdens that have been so heavy. When I'm talking with the Lord lifts those in their light. All when my Savior talks with me, let's pursue that, folks. Can we live for the Lord together? Surely we can. Are we a congregation? Are we part of the body of Christ? Oh, let's love Him with all of our heart. Let's walk together in this.
Amen.
I'm not here to accuse. I want to shine the light on the devil, though. If he's harming you, I don't like him.
That's right.
Lord, help us. Help us to see and recognize when the devil's there for our soul. Another verse I want to go to here quickly. 1 Peter 5 and 8. Be sober. Be vigilant. Think clearly. Be on guard. Because your adversary. And then it named him out. The devil. As a roaring lion walks about, seeking whom he may devour. Since we know that. And it's a fact. I think there have been people who have lived for the Lord for many years and got lax in their soul and failed. I don't want to be of that number. Can we? Judges 16. Again, I call it an astounding story. A young man was God himself gave as a prayed for child. And the Lord said, I want this child to be specially dedicated to me by the vow of a Nazarite. And part of that vow was he wasn't to drink any fruit of the grape. He was of the vine. He wasn't supposed to cut his hair. I can't tell you I understand everything that goes along with some of those things. But this was a sign of outward dedication. And the Lord said, I'll be with you, with him. There was a contract. I don't want to reduce it to this. There was a promise that the Lord had on this young man's life. And he grew up. And I don't know what all happened up from his childhood, except they were true to this vow to the Lord. And there were some extraordinary things that began to happen in the young man's life. He grew up, was growing up, and as normally is, in fact, as the way God ordered it, that the young man was interested in getting married. That's normal. In fact, I encourage it. God wants a young man to grow up and get established and have purpose and reason for life and develop something in him that he has some character to offer, some truth and some righteousness and desire for God in his heart, something he can offer that to a young man, a young woman, that she might trust in him.
Right.
So nothing wrong with, in fact, it's right for a young man to want to find a companion in life. Absolutely right. God made it so. But he got to look in the wrong spot. And his parents said, don't we have some here in our community that, can't you do it right? He went ahead and pursued that. And there was different things happening. This young man had such strength because the Lord blessed him with that strength. Why, one time, when he had been, like he'd been wronged and perhaps was, he decided to retaliate by going out and catching 300 foxes. I don't know about you, I've had a hard time catching one. But he went out and caught 300 foxes, and sounded like he may have tied their tails together and put a stick a fire between them and set them loose in the ripe fields of grain. Of his enemy's fields. That's pretty impressive to me. I don't know just how that happened, but it would have been kind of interesting to see. Another time they came against him with such, because they were angry with him now, came against him with a whole army. He picked up a bone. How many was it? A thousand? How many? A thousand with a bone. I don't think they were out there with a bone. I think they had other more sophisticated weapons than what he had. It's an amazing story. Surely the Lord is with me. And there's proof. A lion met him. Young lion met him. And he, I don't know how. I think I would, you know, it's not, a lion's not like a dog. You can get a dog by the head and you can kind of control the rest of him. But a lion's got more than a mouth. He's got four legs with sharp claws all over. And he caught this lion and ripped him apart and killed him with his own bare hands. Surely the Lord is with me. I can handle anything the devil sends my way. Then they thought they had him caught inside the city gates. Knew he was going to take a nap there that night, and they closed the gates on him and said, "We'll all get him in the morning." At night he got up and he went out, pulled the gates, not off the hinges, but the posts they were hung on, pulled them out of the ground and packed them up the hill. Surely the Lord is with me. Look what mighty things I've done. Then came another woman. "Oh, Samson, it's been said you were a mighty man. Women were your weakness. This I understand. But after all the mighty armies you went through, how could you let a woman get the best of you?" That's part of a song. Let's read some over here in Judges 16th chapter. This is some of the most astounding part of the whole story to me. Judges 16 and maybe the fourth verse. "For it came to pass that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. The lords of the Philistines came upon her and said unto her, 'Entice him and see.'" Now this is still along the vein of the wiles of the devil. That's still what we're talking about. "Entice him." Enticement, it seems to be, working on the natural weakness that's there and exploiting that to your benefit. Entice him. Something is there that, and I'm going to use it to your downfall. "Entice him and see wherein his great strength lies, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him. And we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver." Sound like they were willing to pay quite a bit. "And they said," this is what our intent is, "we want to know what's the secret of his strength, that we can reduce him to our level, and that we can bind him and afflict him." What all was it there? "That we might bind him to afflict him, and we will, where his great strength, we want to know where his strength is, and what means we may prevail against him." Delilah listened to that. And being of the nature to kind of side with those who were opposed to Samson, she comes and tells Samson, "Tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee." Sounds to me like the devil showed up with horns and a pitchfork. How much more clear could it be? I read this story and am absolutely astounded. Why didn't he turn around and walk out that door? Why? Wasn't this a clear indicator? Could it have been that surely the Lord is with me? I've been walking this way long enough. I can count on my great strength. Surely I can meet this one too. I've met every other one. I've met it with such complete victory. The lion has nothing over me. And I don't have to tell her the truth. You know, I can work with this. I'm strong enough. I can handle it. But after the stated purpose was there, this is what I'm interested in doing. I want to entice you. I want to tell me where your great strength. Tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. And Samson said unto her, "If you bind me with 7 green withs that were never dried, then shall I be weak and be as another man." Well, he knew he didn't tell her the truth. But yet he was toying with the idea. Flee. Run from it. Especially when the devil has been so clearly stated his purpose. "I want to deceive you. I want to entice you. I want you to look at the fruit. I want you to be close enough that I can get in your mind. That I can addle your thinking. That I can get you to the place that you won't hardly tell what's right from wrong." So Samson told her that, and she did exactly what he told her. Did it. She went and told him, "This is what he said. Let me..." "We'll be right back. I'm going to bring you these strips of withes." I don't know just what that was. Probably, I don't know, some probably small thing. Just, and we'll bind him with that. And they did it. And she says, "Samson, the Philistines be upon thee." Sounded like they were camping out in a room. They were hiding right there. Ready at the moment's notice. She said, once she got him bound, she said, the Philistines be upon thee. And he woke up and he breaks them, as he knew he could. See, you're not going to get me. I know better. But she said, "You mocked me. Ninth verse? No. Tenth. "And Delilah said unto Samson, Behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherein thou mightest be bound." Again, you ask me? Yes. What gall the devil has. He's willing to pursue and persist and wear you down if you let him. Don't listen anymore. Walk away. "I pray thee, wherein thou mightest be bound." And he said to her, "If you bind me fast with new ropes that never were occupied, then shall I be weak and be as another man." But Delilah sent out right away for the ropes. They came back with it.
She bound him.
She said, Samson, the Philistines be upon thee. Samson, therefore, so they were liars in wait, again, waiting there in the chamber. And he brake them off his arms like they were threads. And Delilah said unto Samson, hitherto thou hast mocked me, and you have told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if thou weavest the seven locks of my head with the web. You notice how much closer he's starting to gravitate toward? He's starting to get pretty close. If you take my hair, and if you weave it in this web, this beam, I don't know what all it was, I don't know. But if you'll do this, you can control me then. You can afflict me then. You can take away my strength that way that I might be bound. He didn't go ahead and say that. He was unwilling to admit to himself that he was toying way too close with the wiles of the devil. And she got busy and did everything he said. Pinned his hair in that. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awakened out of his sleep and went away with a pin of the beam and with the web, carried it all off. And Delilah must have really wanted that money. She said unto him, how canst thou say I love thee when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these three times and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. I think it would have been good for him to look at her and say, you've mocked me also. You don't love me. You've clearly been, you're after my strength. You're after that place of strength that God has given me. This valuable place of that I have, that the Lord has put his blessing on. You're after it, and I know it, because you've stated it and you've proven over and over and over again. And she came back to him and gave her sob story and said, you surely don't love me. And if you love me, you would tell me. And he revealed his heart to her. Told her the secret. What did he think was going to happen? She proved it over and over. I want to tell you, dear ones, we don't have to reinvent the way to walk with the Lord. You know, those who have been victorious have stayed away from the devil's territory. You don't need to say, well, I think I can do it better. You'll be like Samson. You know what happened? She went to the Philistines, those who were interested in taking away Samson's strength to try to destroy him. She went to them and said, he's told me the truth this time. Just one more time, come back. Because I know this time that he just broke down and revealed his heart. And I know that we'll have him this time. And they came in and cut off his hair. You know what happened? Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he said in his heart, I'm going to get up from here and do like I always did before. I'll shake myself and I'm going to walk away. But he didn't know that the Lord was departed. Such a sad. But I yet stand in amazement at it. I can't, it's an astounding story that the devil can be so plain in his intent and the man, for whatever reason, let himself be taken advantage like that. The devil is seldom that plain to you and I, but his intent is still the same. He will always do whatever his wiles, he will approach in his camouflage. He will approach in his reasonable, and maybe even clothe himself again as an angel of light to try his purpose, is that we might be enslaved and die. Poke out the eyes. That's what happened to Samson. He got up and said, I'm going to shake myself. And his strength was all gone. And he's... I wonder when... Did he feel the Spirit of the Lord leave? Or was he so walking on the edge that he never even noticed the Spirit of the Lord leave until he no longer had his strength? I want to tell you folks, there's danger in walking too close. Because the voice that's so vibrant in our conscience, in our minds today, can get so faint that we'll hardly know when he slips out the door. Don't let that happen. Please don't let that happen. Amen. They took Samson. And they bound him. And they put out his eyes. That sounds pretty drastic, isn't it? You know why? They didn't want him ever to be able to see, to do the things he'd done before. They wanted to cripple him. If he might live. They wanted to still use him to mock him. They wanted to mock him. Doesn't that sound like the devil? Folks, I want to tell you, get out on the devil's territory. He'll mock you. He'll tear up your life and your home and your purpose of life. And he'll sit back and laugh. I hate him. I know those are strong words, but I don't say that about people. I'll say that about the devil all day long. I hate him. I've seen him be too mean to too many people.
That's true.
And I know what he has in mind for your soul and mine if we'll let him. Lord, help us to understand and recognize the devil when he comes around. Be careful, because the devil is like a roaring lion, walking about seeing if he can get you.
That's true.
And me. He doesn't care. I can say that I've been saved for 40 some years. And it's the truth. That's not going to keep me from the wild, just being saved 40 some years. He is no respecter of person either. He will do his best to destroy. And especially, I believe, if we walked with the Lord for a long time, he's interested in knocking, in diminishing, in destroying us. Because you know what? If he destroyed somebody who's been faithful for all these years, if he destroyed me, he'll tell a young person, you see, he lived for the Lord for this many years and you won't make it either. You see what he'll try to do? The devil's mean. I'm desperate for heaven, folks. I'm now interested in hearing the sweet siren voice that the devil will try to bring to us. That wily camouflage, that almost, that fruit that tastes too sweet to be real. And it is. Because behind it is the poison that is there to put out our life and to destroy our, put out our eyes and destroy our life. My message to us tonight is, Lord, help us to be cautious and to be aware, to be discerning, to recognize the devil. Again, I'm going to tell you, he seldom is this plain. And he'll do his best to exploit every weakness that we might have. What was it? The sin that does so easily beset us, or the besetting sin. I say, Lord, help us to recognize our weaknesses. Those places that the devil would like to get in there very subtly, and begin to leverage that against our soul. I know his purpose tonight. His purpose is to kill and to steal. Steal, kill, and destroy. And I'm desperate for heaven. I don't want to be one of those that he mocks and mocks my family. I can't afford that. I want to meet him in peace. I want him to say, well done. Doesn't mean I won't have some scars. I believe I'm going to, in this battle, I believe I'm going to have some of those times that leaves behind some very deep memories. I don't want to do that again. But it doesn't mean we can't have the victory and come to the end in peace. And I believe that we can look at him not only here, but over there in the time we stand before him. And I believe we can call him Abba Father. And I believe he could say, well done, my son. Enter thou into the joy. And I want to be one of those. Pray for me.